Poetry Slam in Fayetteville, actually in February. And that will be what you get to hear next month on episode 12 of Poetic License. Thanks again for tuning in. If you would like to get more information on me and what I'm up to, because I will be doing some shows in Portland while I'm out there, as well as Central Oregon, before I return back to the South in April, do check out my website. It's www.TuriaAutry.com. That's TuriaAutry.com. Thanks again for tuning in. And I'm going to take you out with a song by two of my favorite jazz artists, Thelonious Monk and John Coltrane, at Carnegie Hall playing Blue Monk, because you may not know this. Also, Born in NC. Have a great everything.
KBOO Portland, listener power, non-corporate community radio.
Just leave me alone.
The time is 11 p.m., and you are tuned to the Ubu Hour.
Radio Theater!
I will build a great, great wall on our southern border, and I will have Mexico pay for that wall. Mark my words. Nobody would be tougher on ISIS than Donald Trump. Nobody.
Halt. What are you doing here?
Nothing. We're just passing through.
This is private property. This is our land.
We didn't mean to trespass on your land.
We're sorry. We're just trying to make it to the border.
You refugees? Put down that gun, Joe. They didn't mean to trespass. Are you people hungry?
Yes, we've been on the road for several days.
This way. Our house is just over there.
Where you people come from?
The South.
Are things as bad there as they say they are?
Worse. You can't imagine. We had to flee.
Religious extremists everywhere. They killed my brother.
Crazy people in white robes run around in the desert. People are dying from the drought. People kill each other over food and water.
There are no answers. Just killing and dying. People with guns have taken over. Groups of men, armed and running amok, murder in the name of religious justice and constitutional rights.
We had to flee. We didn't want to leave.
It's okay. You can have something to eat. We still have food here.
Stay here. You can sit out here. Ida, go inside and bring him some food.
You people are most kind.
That's okay. You have a long journey ahead.
It's like rats in a cage. When there's plenty of food and water, they can all get along and tolerate each other. When the supplies diminish, a whole nother story.
The religious extremists in white robes, the armed militias, they have completely taken over in the South.
We couldn't stay there.
My wife will bring out some food.
And water?
Yes, water too.
Mother, who are those people out there?
They're refugees. They came from the desert in the south.
Real bad there, isn't it?
Uh-huh. Worse than here, far worse.
Nothing but a desert there.
Mostly a desert, but it wasn't always like that.
Are they gonna stay here?
No, they went across the border.
Can they do that?
They won't be able to cross on the highway, but in the mountains they might be able to slip in.
And then what? The people up north? They don't want more refugees, do they?
I don't think so. It's a problem here. It's a problem there. Even bigger problem in the east. Too many people with nowhere to go.
It must be terrible to have to leave your home behind. To be in a limbo. Not know where you will end up. To be a victim. Disease. Famine. Drought. And then you add to it the religious extremists.
And we didn't think it could happen here, did we? Crazy religious extremists in white robes. We never imagined that it could happen here.
But it did, Mother.
Can anyone really say when the Third World War began? Some might blame it on bin Laden's hijackers. Many more would point to the Cheney-Rumsfeld invasion of Iraq.
The slow burn of war across the Middle East and Northern Africa. More and more countries brought into an endless black hole of war and revolution and strife. Decades of unending wars that continued to build.
The rise of caliphates against former colonial empires, like a virus of insanity that spread like a plague across the world. Syria and Yemen and Iraq burn and millions flee in fear.
Vast areas of starvation in Africa and deep Asia. Once fertile land becomes arid. Virulent plagues spread like wildfire. Millions of more refugees. Violence and fear erupt where hope is lost. A world erupting into chaos.
The nationalist parties in Europe grow in power as fear and hate become rampant. Build walls and fortify the borders. Protect your own, there's only so much. Keep the others away, keep them out. Militarize your borders.
And in America, using the rhetoric of hate and scapegoating, a populist media figure was somehow elected leader as a societal level madness took hold.
I will build a great, great wall on our southern border, and I will have Mexico pay for that war.
The angry fringe finally got their way. Vast yep. wall was erected from one end of the southern border to the other.
And nobody builds walls better than me, believe me.
It was a beautiful wall.
A big, beautiful, powerful wall.
It was the biggest, most beautiful wall ever built.
Even if we never could get the Mexicans to pay for it.
Detention camps for the religious enemies. Hyper-patriotism with no room for dissent.
The sabotage at the nuclear reactor didn't help things.
Random killings had become routine, but ratcheted up the fear even more, while well-armed anti-government militia replaced any form of law.
And then there were the storms and other disasters. The summers where tar and plastic became a sticky, toxic goo in 145 degree heat.
Rising waters that flooded coastal cities. Devastating earthquakes, tornadoes, and hurricanes.
Florida slowly squeezed into a death marsh. Coastal cities flooded and abandoned. Ice blizzards in Texas and New Mexico. Floods of biblical proportions across the Midwest. Weather more weird and unpredictable each year.
Welcome, my friends, to the year 2034. Welcome to the Holy Lands.
Welcome to the world as prophesied in Revelations in the years before the second coming. Welcome to the new age of man.
It was the worst of times. It was the best of times.
Who the fuck are we kidding? Everything has gone to shit.
But there's hope. If you just believe. Hope.
Yeah, that's all there was. Hope, religion, insane religious leaders and their millions of followers clinging to belief as the world turned to shit.
It's the only way to cope. Cope through hope. After they eat, they have to leave.
So soon, Joe? We can let them stay the night.
They can sleep in the barn.
We can't risk it. Not if they're fleeing from the south. We don't want to be dragged in.
I don't understand what you're saying, Joe. How would we be dragged in?
You don't understand the people down there. The ones in the white robes. They think they're on a mission from God. What if they come up here with their armbands?
Would they do that?
Someone burned a cross in the miller's yard a couple of months ago. Men in white sheets from further south. No one says it, but we all know.
Would they come up here? Would they do something to us for helping these refugees?
I don't know. There's no telling what people will do, not anymore. We can't trust anyone. Not those refugees out there, not the people who might come after them. Not even our neighbors anymore.
Everyone for themselves.
That's right. Everyone for themselves and pass the ammunition.
What a damn world this has become.
That's why they need to go when they're done eating.
You want to go out there and tell them, or do you want me to do it?
Friends, we want to welcome you to the Holy Lands. You are fortunate to be here because this land is ruled by biblical law and the truth of the good Lord.
Here in the Holy Lands, you'll be safe from the evils that are destroying other parts of the world. One must be strong in one's faith and convictions to defeat this evil.
We are that strength and conviction. We are the true spirit of these United States of America. And we are the remaining bastion of the power of states.
We are not the United Federal Government of America. We are the ultimate expression of statehood, to which this nation of states was derived under God and the forefathers and the Constitution.
Welcome, friends! Welcome to the Holy Lands.
Let us tell you how the Holy Lands came to be.
To combat the Muslim menace in Asia, the first step was to evict all Muslims from the Holy Lands. Thankfully, during President Trump's third term, the correct laws were enacted where we could do this.
With the help of Secretary of Interior Palin, all federal lands were given back to the people who could best use them. People like ranchers and oil barons and frackers. and coal extractors.
We can't let the people's land go to waste. All resources must be utilized to the fullest to make our nation strong.
And armed citizens' armies were encouraged to take back the land.
One needs to fight fire with fire. We need to build a biblical empire to stand up to the Muslim Empire in Asia.
We need to construct a society that is bound by biblical law so that we can be strong against the perils of Islamic encroachment into our nation.
We are the ones who are saving this nation. No one else will do it. We are the defenders of freedom. We are the true patriots.
We are the League of the South. Dedicated to a free and independent Southern Republic, with a natural Christian order of superiors and subordinates.
We are the Oath Keepers, who maintain constitutional order in times of unrest through military strength.
We are the 3% Patriots, who follow in the path of those 3% of colonists who actually took arms against the British to free the rest of the people from the tyranny of the crown.
We used our constitutional Second Amendment rights to uphold this great nation. We made sure our voice was heard at the polls to fight against the tyranny.
We used our Second Amendment rights so that our guy could win. So that we could return this nation to greatness.
Waving their constitutions and their firearms, they came out to the ballot boxes. They made sure their people won.
Others didn't vote. Fear and hate rampant across the land. The men in white sheets rode again, unopposed.
Secretary of Defense Cruz ordered massive carpet bombings to quell the problems in the Middle East.
Were on the table. Nukes were now an option. The United Nations was helpless.
The 2,000-mile Trump wall took over 3 years to build, and within several months, the nation faced the worst famine since the Dust Bowl.
But this was a good sign. This was yet another sign that the Second Coming was nigh.
Freedom was everywhere. Freedom reigned across the land as old laws and rules and regulations were overturned. Order and morality were enforced.
In the decade that followed, the federal bureaucracy became another reality show, nothing but a spectacle, presented by a media-savvy frontman, nothing but a hollow spectacle.
The federal government only existed for a few huge projects, like the Trump Wall and World Invasion.
Armed militia was soon in power in much of the nation. The people were taking back their power and ruling themselves. As they wave their constitutions and guns.
The tyranny of big government has been broken. At last, we are free. The people have the power, my friends.
We had to do it. It was necessary to preserve the culture of the nation from the onslaught of foreigners.
To preserve our white Christian heritage from the three-fifths persons and the non-Christian people who want to take it over.
What a glorious nation we live in today, friends! All hail the Holy Lands!
All hail the Holy Lands!
I have two girls to train! Take the girl! Give me the meat! Give it to me!
Some narcissistic bragging billionaire who doesn't know fuck all about the Bible becomes the leader of the new Christian radical upheaval.
Please, dear, you shouldn't say those things. Not on the social media where anyone can see.
But it's not right, Mom. It's utterly ridiculous.
But you have to be careful. Crazy men with guns have taken over the local administration buildings. Crazy men are now in control.
It shouldn't be this way.
You say or do the wrong thing. You piss off the wrong person. You look like the wrong person.
You never know when the armed men in white hoods will show up at your door.
But you do know that you no longer have a home, that you need to grab things quickly and throw them in a bag.
But you know you have to flee for your life. And you are just another refugee. Just another of the half a billion.
There's more than half a billion refugees. That was last year, my dear.
Oh, we have visitors.
I hope those refugees aren't back.
No, two men. They're coming up the steps right now.
Fuck. I'd better see what they want. Gentlemen, can I help you?
Hi, my name is Todd. This is my friend, Mort.
My name's Joe, and over here's my wife, Ida. My kid over there is Kelly.
What's going on here?
We've traveled many miles, sir, ma'am. We're from the south.
We're looking for a family who might have passed through here. We want to know if you saw them.
Here's their photographs. Did you see these three individuals?
No, we did not see them. Now, please, you've interrupted our evening.
Ma'am, you did not take a look at the photos. You cannot know that you did not see them unless you take a look.
How about you, sir? Joseph? Is that your name?
Joe.
Have you seen any of these three individuals?
I don't think so.
Are you sure? Take a good look.
No, I don't think so.
No?
You don't sound so sure, Joseph. Look at the photo again. The man, the wife, and their daughter.
These three individuals are wanted for sedition, treason, and terrorism.
You certainly would not want to stand in the way of justice. Come over here, ma'am, and look at the photos.
I don't want to look at your damn pictures.
Please, Ida, just come over here and look at the photos.
You'd better humor them, Mom. They have guns.
You wouldn't want to stand in the way of justice, would you, ma'am? Come over here and look closely at the photo.
We haven't seen no one that we don't know.
Okay, I looked at the pictures. No, I haven't seen them.
Are you sure? Joseph? Woman?
No one's traveling through this way? Is that what you were saying, Joseph?
That's what I said.
Really? No one? You should consider yourselves lucky.
Lots of strangers everywhere. It's like the world is filled with strangers.
Everywhere you go, people in strange places. No one knows anyone. Places are not familiar anymore.
Nothing is familiar anymore. People migrating, turmoil, and not enough people want to face the truth.
The truth? What is the truth?
The truth is that we need to bring back the truth. We need to be committed to the truth.
We represent the truth. We represent freedom and justice.
We want to bring these people to justice so that we can maintain freedom and justice and truth.
We live in a great Christian nation, but it can only survive if we maintain freedom and justice and truth.
We need to maintain order to keep this nation strong. We need to punish evil. Otherwise, this nation will fail and slip back into the chaos of the past.
That's why we need to bring these people to justice.
You wouldn't want to stand in the way of that, would you?
What are you going to do to them if you catch them?
I already told you. Bring them to justice.
But what does that mean, bring them to justice?
It means what it means. Are you deaf?
We need to go. But you will let us know if you see them.
Yeah, sure we will. Thank God those assholes are gone. Todd and Mort.
That's probably not their real names, Dad.
What do you mean?
Todd and Mort. The word for deaf in German and French.
The Holy Book calls for the death penalty for the following offenses.
Murder.
Adultery.
Bestiality.
Rape.
Sodomy.
A woman found not to be a virgin on the night of her wedding.
Worshipping other gods.
Witchcraft.
Taking the Lord's name in vain.
Damn it.
As in, cursing his name.
Ah, son of Jesus, fuck!
God damn it.
Cursing a fucking parent.
Disobeying a parent.
No.
Or kidnapping.
These are the offenses for which the Holy Bible calls for the death penalty.
Somewhere to sleep before the night falls.
I hope it doesn't get as cold as last night.
Mom? Dad?
What is it, dear?
Will we ever go home again?
I don't know. I don't know.
The
preceding radio drama is titled 2034, Welcome to the Holy Lands.
It was written and produced by Rolf Semperbon and performed by...
Sean.
Larry.
Billy.
Demi Hellenius.
Mort.
Miles.
David.
Becky Myers.
You can nick it.
Noah Dorr.
Martin.
Rolf. Wow, Rolf, that's pretty powerful.
Kids, it's me, old Fat Uncle Watson. I'm back just like a bad penny. Remember pennies? Those round, shiny things you throw away anytime you buy something for 99 cents? Well, here I am with tonight's contractually obligated bedtime story. Tonight we go way back in America's history to 1955, when fat old Uncle Watson was a skinny, pimply-faced kid. It was a time when there was no sex education at school or at home, just on the street. Best place to learn it. And Hollywood had to pretend there was no sex in the entire universe. At least none they could show in their movies. The only sex we heard about in the movies was that going on in the private lives of their stars. Movies themselves were what we used to call really clean. That meant no one talked dirty, and boys and girls, and even mommies and daddies did not sleep together. They all had separate beds. So, to avoid showing sex on the screen, romantic movie comedies had to do something called beat around the bush. And by bush, I'm not talking about those things ladies used to have before Gillette found a whole new market for disposable razors. But that's a story for another night. Tonight's story is taken from a 1955 movie titled I Might Like S-E-X If I Knew What That Spelled. It starred America's favorite young couple, Dottie Daybreak and Fuller Brushman. Pretend now you're standing just outside the New York office of Rock Nockney, an executive with an ill-defined job. His pert, young, white-bread secretary, Doris Dawn, sits at her desk, typing as Rock comes up behind her. Typing is something women who worked in offices did to increase their finger dexterity. Rock speaks.
Miss Dawn, excuse me, please. I didn't mean to.
Oh, Rock, I didn't see you hovering over me. Hey? You weren't looking down my blouse to catch a glimpse of my large, firmly encased bazongas, were you?
Oh, heaven forfend, Miss Dawn. I have absolutely no interest in your huge pair of wacko-wackas and the way they come to a sharp point in that maiden-form bra. That is, while I think your melons look really super keen, even all covered up as they are. What I mean to say is,
well, that's all right. You're such a milquetoast, you would never make a play for me or my bazongas in any event.
I should think not, Miss Dawn.
Mr. Nockney, I have been working here for 3 years now. Don't you think it's about time you began calling me by my first name?
Yes, I suppose that would be in order, Boobs. I mean, Miss Boobs. I mean, Babs.
It's Doris. Babs worked here before me. After 12 years with you, she finally gave up on the idea you might sweep her off her feet
impregnate her, and then marry her. So she went off and married an elevator operator who became a movie producer.
Oh, yes, that's right. You're Doris. Let me write that down. I'll call you D-O-R-I-S. Yes.
Was there something else you wanted?
Doris, I want you to know I'm not the kind of man who would demand favors of such a fine... I mean, far be it from me to...
I mean, is there something you wanted to tell me about that letter you're holding?
Oh, yes, there is. I wanted to tell you what a fine job you've done on letters like these. Oh, neatly typed and... everything.
Well, thank you, Rock. Since you think my flying fingers have produced such superlative products, perhaps you would like to reward me for a job well done.
Gosh, I've never known before what it meant when a girl batted her eyes at me the way you're doing now. Sadly, I still don't. But it's just the thing I was talking about. I am in no position to... Oh, let me think about a nice reward. I'll go and do it in my office.
Mr. Knockney, you'll go do what in your office? You aren't beating your meat in there, are you?
I'm going to go... Think about how I can reward you and...
Doris, you know you're never going to get that guy to marry you. Frankly, I suspect he may be a limp-wristed, sissified poofter.
Betsy, the girl in personnel, aren't you forgetting this is 1955? We don't talk about homogenized sexuals even under our breaths because there are no sodomites in America. And even if there were, Mr. Knockney is much too handsome and virile and macho and reeking of cologne to be one. And what makes you think nice girls like me are trying to get men to marry us?
Oh,
wait a minute. That's right, we are.
Don't you think you might play the field, so to speak, before you settle down with one man, honey?
Betsy! Which field are you talking about? What do you think I am, some kind of psycho, pinko, communist, sex-obsessed harlot of loose morals who responds to classified Lonely Hearts ads in the Daily Worker and Village Voice?
Oh, Poontang, my poor, scrawny, atheistic little Mexican hairless. Here I sit on my love seat with you in my pajamas at home, watching you search for fleas and wondering how you got into my pajamas, while also wondering how I'm ever going to get Mr. Knockney to think about me as something other than his office hag. If I could only think of some way to get him to take me out on the town, wine me and dine me, think he's tricking me into getting me in bed with him and then letting him bang my brains out and... let's think about that. You've got an idea? Or is it your eczema acting up again? Oh, you really do have an idea. Whispered in my ear, Poontang. Bowling night?
Yes, brilliant. As I might have said if this were a British comedy.
Oh, thank you, Poontang, for helping me out.
Good morning. Let's see. Here it is. Doris. I have it written down right here. You're here bright and early. It's not even 1:30 yet. Is that a new bowling shirt you're wearing? I don't believe I've ever seen it in the office before.
Mr. Knockney, do you know how to bowl?
Is that one of those crazy new dances the kids are doing these days? The mashed potato, the exploding helicopter, the human immunovirus, the bowl.
No. Some people consider bowling a sport, though I don't know why. But how do you expect to entertain clients if you don't know how to bowl?
I always take them golfing.
Oh, golfing is so 1920s. Bowling is the in thing now. All the big spending out-of-town clients these days want to go bowling. I could give you lessons. Let's begin tonight. Pick me up at 7. See you then.
Sure. Will I need to bring bowling balls or anything like that?
No, Rock. You won't need any balls for this. You can leave your balls at home.
That's a relief because I don't have any. Balls, that is.
Oh, Rock, you're such a master of the double entendre.
Double what? No, seriously, I don't have any bowling balls. You're going home? Already? I guess so.
Now, you take a couple of steps, Mr. Knockney.
That's
right on your right foot as you release the ball.
You'll make it all seem so easy with your body pressed up against mine, Doris. One hand helping to guide my bowling movement. The other inside the front of my pants. I think I'm getting the hang of this, in a manner of speaking. Ow!
Motherfuck! Ding! Dang it all! I dropped the fucking ball on my toe! Maybe this would be a good time to ask you a personal question.
No? You're kidding me. What?
Are you a sodomite?
Vegemite? No, I don't eat Vegemite. I'm not Australian, if that's what you're trying to ask me about in a roundabout way.
No, you need to get your hearing aid checked. I asked you whether you're a sodomite.
A whatamite?
Oh, thank goodness you're not. I thought not. Go ahead and take your second shot. Oh, shit, on the highway, I tripped on my own feet and fell over. God damn it! Oh, Rock, you poor darling. Did you hurt yourself?
I think I may have smashed my elbow into a mush. Have they invented Tommy John surgery yet?
Here, let me kiss your elbow and make it better.
That's not a treatment I've ever seen in the AMA manual, but if you must...
Oh, Poondang, don't be so jealous. You'll get yours right after Mr. Knockney.
I believe I might have cut my lip, too.
I'll get Poondang first, then you. Now, Rock.
That was an awkward fall, and I think I may have also twisted my penis on the way down. Think you could make that better?
Why, Mr. Knockney, the nerve!
But on a more serious note, my elbow and ankle are both killing me, and I'm not sure I can drive home.
I'll be happy to drive you. I'm getting my learner's permit next week.
Are you sure you know how to drive?
70% sure, but I've never driven a John Deere riding mower. This is all so new to me.
So that's why you're all over the road. You're going to get us arrested driving like this. Oh, great. There's the law now. He's probably going to think you're drunk.
I know I'm drunk. Drunk with love. What do we do now?
Well, if this were 1985, we might jump into the back seat and have wild, loveless sex, but it isn't. So I have another idea that may work. Let's move over and you put Poontang in the driver's seat.
But he doesn't know how to drive.
The cop doesn't know that.
Happy the evening, sir. Nice beard you've got, if I may say so. Seems to extend all the way back to your tail and your exposed arsehole. May I see your license? I asked you a question, little four-legged, hairy-faced person.
Our chauffeur doesn't speak any English, officer.
No? Well, I'm an immigrant myself from Bratislava. So I'll let him go this time, but please tell him in his native language to clean up his act.
We will, officer. Thank you. Thank you so much.
Hey, you!
Poontang, shut up.
Roof, roof! And you take it easy on those donuts, Kojak. Roof! If your keister gets any fatter, they're gonna have to replace the saddle on that motorcycle with a two-piece divan.
Oh, golly. I'm so sorry I got us all into this mess.
Oh, that's okay. I think I can explain it all to the judge.
I certainly hope so, Rock. Please, hold me tight and never let me go. I'm so scared.
Oh, don't worry. They're not going to put us on the chain gang. This isn't Alabama, you know.
I know it's Rikers Island, but I don't mean that. I mean, I'm so frightened I didn't make a good impression on you tonight.
Have no worries about that, darling. In fact, I think I'm going to have to start calling you by another name.
Dingy Presbyterian blonde who can't drive a riding mower?
Well, besides that, I'm talking about calling you Mrs. Rock Knockney.
Oh, Rock! I would prefer to keep my own name, but Mrs. Rock Knockney is good too. Do you think the judge might marry us?
Probably not, unless we ask him to. And just as long as I can somehow convince him I'm not a fairy and Poontang will never try to drive again.
You think that cop really came from Bratislava?
Well, kids, that's our story for tonight. In case you're wondering, Rock did turn out to be a sodomite who secretly ate Vegemite and never married Doris. I know it's not a happy ending, but so few stories really have one. Just before you go to sleep, remember that I'm your Uncle Watson who thinks his real name may be Martin Dodge. And think about what story you would like to hear next time. Now, go to sleep, you little shits.
The preceding radio theater piece was titled "I Might Like SEX If I Knew What It Stood For," written and produced by Martin Dodge. The voice of Poontang was played by Larry.
Why is there such hatred and such viciousness? Why is somebody willing to surveil the mosques? I took a lot of heat for the surveillance of the mosques. Where does this hatred come from? Why does it come? We have to figure it out because we have problems. So nobody's taking the heat like me. I don't care because what I'm saying is right. And you know what? You know it's right, and everybody knows it's right. And you know who really knows it right? It is the public. The public knows it's right. We have to find out, Don, where does this hatred come from? Why is there such hatred and such viciousness? But we can't allow radical people. 19 trillion is going to be 21 trillion killers pouring across the borders that we have no idea who they are. I'm telling you, why is there such hatred and such viciousness?
We have to do something about it.
Why is somebody willing to
start by building a wall, a big, beautiful, powerful wall? It can have a gate. It can have a door. A big, beautiful, powerful wall. We have to stop what's happening to our country because we're losing our country.
Now,
and make it really work. Nobody will be pushing us around. And I promise I will never be in a bicycle race, that I can tell you. When Mexico sends its people, they're not sending their best. They're not sending you. They're not sending you. They're sending people that have lots of problems. They're bringing drugs. They're bringing crime. They're rapists. And some, I assume, are good people.
We have to find out, Don, where does this hatred come from? Why is there such hatred and such viciousness?
They're bringing drugs. They're bringing crime. They're rapists.
But it seems to be one group. I mean,
I would do various things very quickly. I would build a great wall, and nobody builds walls better than me, believe me. And I'll build them very inexpensively. I will build a great, great wall on our southern border, and I will have Mexico pay for that wall.
Yeah.
Mark my words.
Yeah.
Nobody would be tougher than Donald Trump.
Yeah.
Nobody. We have to do something about it, and we have to start by building a wall, a big, beautiful, powerful wall. Nobody will be pushing us around.
Yeah.
I will immediately terminate Iran. I will find the right guy. I will find the guy that's going to take nuclear weapons and make it really work. Nobody will be pushing us around.
Why is there such hatred and such viciousness? Why is somebody... Why is there such hatred and such viciousness? Where does this hatred come from? Why does it come? We have to figure it out because we have problems. So nobody's taking the heat like me. I don't care. We have to find out, Don, where does this hatred come from? Why is there such hatred and such viciousness? But we can't allow radical people, 19 trillion is going to be 21 trillion killers pouring across the borders that we have no idea who they are. I'm telling you, why is there such hatred and such viciousness?
We have to do something about it. Start by building a wall, a big, beautiful, powerful wall. It can have a gate. It can have a door. A big, beautiful, powerful wall. We have to stop what's happening to our country because we're losing our country.
Now,
and make it really work. Nobody will be pushing us around. They're not sending you.
They're sending people that have lots of problems. They're bringing drugs. They're bringing crime. They're rapists. And some, I assume, are good people. We have to find out, Don, where does this hatred come from? Why is there such hatred and such viciousness? They're bringing drugs. They're bringing crime. They're rapists. But it seems to be one group. I mean, I would do various things very quickly. I would build a great wall, and nobody builds walls better than me, believe me. And I'll build them very inexpensively. I will build a great, great wall on our southern border, and I will have Mexico pay for that wall. Mark my words.
Roger.
Nobody would be tougher than Donald Trump. Nobody. We have to do something about it, and we have to start by building a wall, a big, beautiful, powerful wall. Nobody, nobody will be pushing us around. Why is there such hatred and such viciousness? I will immediately terminate Moran. I will find the right guy. I will find the guy that's going to take nuclear weapons and make it really work. Nobody, nobody will be pushing us around. I will immediately terminate Moran. I will find the right guy. I will find the guy that's going to take nuclear weapons and make it really work. Nobody, nobody will be pushing us around. Why is there such hatred and such viciousness? Why is somebody willing to surveil the mosques? I took a lot of heat from surveillance of the mosques. Where does this hatred come from? Why does it come? We have to figure it out. Because we have a problem. So, nobody's thinking about it. Where does this hatred come from? Why is there such hatred and such...
This has been the UBU Hour, coming at you every first Monday at 11 p.m. here on KBOO. But have no fear, because there is radio theater every Monday at 11 p.m. Tune in next month when the UBU Hour brings you...
Title of work to be announced at a later date.
If you want to hear other UBU Hour radio theater shows, you can go to www.kboo.fm and look for UBU, spelled UBU, Hour.
KBOO Community Radio is a proud co-sponsor of the book release for Radical Mycology, a book on DIY mushroom cultivation, pollution cleanup, and more. The book release event will take place February 6th from 5:30 to 9 p.m. with author and Portland native Peter McCoy speaking at Tabor Space in Portland. McCoy will give two different presentations on the book's topics. There will also be a performance piece, projection art, and more. Again, that's the Radical Mycology book release, Saturday, February 6th, from 5:30 to 9 p.m. at Tabor Space, 5441 Southeast Belmont Street in Portland. More information can be found at kbu.fm on the right side of the homepage under Community Events.
KBOO Portland.
Tiki Cha Cha Club.
From the corner of Calicala Boulevard and Bourbon Street, in a little Spanish village, a small discotheque. This is the Wacky Cha-Cha... Wait a minute. Well, I mean, it's the cheeky in tongue in cheeky Cha-Cha Club. Well, maybe it's the hippie Cha-Cha Club. And it might be. You never know. The flowers in my hair. I wear them around.